Exodus 3, we have this great account of Moses being called into leadership. Actually, he's being drafted. He tries to wiggle out, but God keeps putting him in this place. And this is what Moses said to God. He said, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So God said, "I will certainly be with you, Moses. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I am. In the book of John, Jesus declares over 12 times he was the I am. He said, "I am the bread of life." In John 6:35, he said, "I am the light of the world." In 8:12, he said, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd" in chapter 10. And most important, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Remember, Moses began with, "Who am I?" And God ended with, "I am." It's not who you are, it's who I am in you. So that's our hope today, right? Who am I? Who am I to stand here before you? It's not who I am, it's who he is. Jesus declared, we sang some good theology today, didn't we? Some good stuff. The words. But the bottom line is, Jesus said, he declared it. He declared it to the woman at the well. He declared it in the temple everywhere he went. He said, "I'm him. I am the I am." And so that brings us great hope today. That's why we worship the way we do. Amen. Isn't this great? Happy New Year. We're getting ready to move into a new year, and I'm excited about it. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to say goodbye to 2020. But I'll tell you what's coming in 2021. I believe God's going to do some fresh new things. Amen. Can you believe that with me for your life, for mine? I feel like Moses sometimes. I really do. Like, "Boy, I don't know, Lord. I don't know." Hey, I'm going to be with you. Remember, I want you to remember this year. He is the I am. He is the I am. Father, I thank you for this congregation who's gathered here in this place. We're so glad that we've been able to come together and to be able to worship. Lord, we can't help it. When we understand who you are, our only response is to worship. Not just in song, although that's good, but we want to worship with our lives. Lord, I believe you want to use us just like you did Moses. You're wanting to draw us out into kingdom work. And this year, there's a lot to do. And you've already been to the end of this year, so you already know what's waiting for us. So we can put our trust in you because you're going to give us exactly what we need to navigate through this time. We declare today that you are the I am. And that changes everything. And we worship you in that spirit. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We love you, Lord, and we love one another. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. What a great way to start the new year with a good snow, right? I was standing out in my yard, and that snow just makes everything beautiful, doesn't it? Unless you got to shovel it. But other than that, it's pretty good. And I was standing looking at my yard. I just felt the Lord impress upon me. He said, "Joe, this new year's like that yard right there. So white, not a track on it." And then this little rabbit came hopping by. Messed up my yard there. And I just thought, you know, this new year's like that snow. Every step you take is going to show. Amen. So we get to take our first step this year. Isn't that awesome? God is doing something. He's at work. And that's why he said, "I've come to give you peace. Be of good cheer no matter what's happening, because I've overcome the world." Well, I believe every year God gives us an emphasis for the year. He does for me personally. That's my experience anyway. And it's my custom tradition, I guess, that's developed over the years. Every November, I join with other men and we go up to a monastery, a Benedictine monastery up in Nebraska, where we spend days in what we call a sabbatical prayer retreat. And we just seek the Lord. And one of the things that's happened over the several years is that we really seek the Lord for a phrase or a word for the new year. And several years ago, the Lord spoke to me, and it still affects me today. When we had gathered together, I said, "Lord, what is it for?" This is looking back. All right, 3 years ago. That was 2017. And the Lord said, "Joe, I'm going to teach you to delight in me." And my heart was, "Well, Lord, I'll always delight in you." No. You're going to serve me out of delight. I'm going to put a new joy in your heart. And no longer are you going to minister out of duty, but you're going to minister out of devotion. And you know, that's exactly what happened. And after all these years, the Lord changed my emphasis of my life. And it's been great. It's been awesome. Well, then we went back the next year and began to seek the Lord. And that word delight came to the surface again, but in an unusual way. Because I felt impressed as I was seeking the Lord over those days. "Joe, I'm going to teach you. You're delighting in me, but now I want you to delight in something else. I want you to delight in difficult people." I said, "Well, that sounds like a fun year." But you know what? I learned. Wow, God has put people in my life for a purpose, and He wants me to delight in them, even those that might be difficult. There's a purpose for their presence in my life. And that's just been awesome. I've enjoyed it. At first, I didn't know what that was going to be like, but I've learned to really appreciate everyone around me. Well, then this year we went back and I began to seek the Lord, and I wasn't sure what direction the Lord was taking me. And so one evening, Paul Duncan and Grady Strop, who you know, they were actually laying hands on me and praying for me in an evening. And Grady prayed these words in his prayer, and it just ignited my heart. And I'm sure he didn't think anything about it, but he said, "Lord, it's so good to do ministry with friends." And boy, my heart just kind of leaped a little bit. And I started journaling, and I realized this year what God wants me to delight in is friends. And I want to encourage you. I believe this year we're going to be looking at the power of friendship. The power of friendship. Did you know God's put all kinds of people around you? And sometimes we're not very appreciative of what's going on and who these people are. Some of them may seem insignificant to you. Some may seem very significant. But I believe this year God is going to illuminate, at least in my heart, if you'd like to join me, you can. But I want to start, and I began, before I even left Nebraska to come back to Wichita, I began to make a list of my friends. Lord, who are my friends? And one page, two page, three page. And I realized, oh my goodness, God, you have blessed me with so many friends. So if we're going to tap into this friendship, I believe there's something we need to consider first. This is going to be a two-part message, okay, this Sunday, next Sunday. Because if we're really going to really think about friendship, and as I began to meditate on that while we were there at the monastery, I began to really think about friendship and what it means and how valuable it is. And the Lord took me to this scripture. It's in John 15:15. Because I believe this is where we have to start. If we're going to be thinking about this whole idea of friendship, then these words are important to us. I don't know. I mean, we know the scripture, but have you ever really thought about what it means? Jesus, this is the upper room discourse, okay? Jesus is preparing his disciples, and here we are in chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17. Jesus is he's preparing them for his departure. He's just finished talking about their new relationship they're going to have. Things are going to change, he said, and we're going to have a unique relationship. He talks about, remember, the vine and branches come before this verse. He's trying to tell them, you're a branch and I'm going to be the vine. This is going to be really great, and I'm going to be leaving, and I know it's going to concern you. But listen, something great is on the horizon. And then he turns to them and he speaks these words. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master's doing. But I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I'm used to calling God my Father. I've referred to Christ as my Savior. And in Isaiah 9:6, the prophet talked about the Messiah's birth. And he said he would be called, do you know what it says? He would be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But nowhere did he say friend. Nowhere did he say we would be invited into a relationship of friendship. I understand those other titles, but this one kind of blows me away. In the Old Testament, there's only a few people who ever got to experience that position of divine friendship. Do you remember who they were? First off, Abraham, right? He was called what? The friend of God. Moses, he talked to God like a friend. Is that true? What about David? Yeah, how about Job? These are just a handful of people who had a relationship with God under the old covenant that could be identified by the word friendship. But now a page is getting ready to turn. And Jesus, under the new covenant that is about to be established, Jesus is opening up a door. He's opening up a door to a new intimate relationship. I don't know if the disciples understood it, but Jesus was declaring the power of friendship to them. And he was saying their relationship was going to change. Is it possible? Is it possible? Could I even think of it this way today, that I am a friend of God? I mean, just let that soak in for a little bit. I mean, I got a lot of friends. How many important friends do you have? How many of you could show up at the White House today and say, I'm a friend of the president. Oh yeah, come on in, we know you. No, that'd be pretty cool, but it doesn't compare with what Jesus is offering us today. I want you to pause with me and really consider the invitation. Consider who is giving you this gift. In John 1, John said this, in the beginning, the Word was. It already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. I get this. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. Well, whoever the Word is, he's saying that He was the creator of all things. So who is this Word? Well, you got to go to verse 14. So the Word became human, became flesh, and dwelt among us. The NLT says He made His home among us. For 33 years, He walked with us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So who's making this offer to us? I mean, this idea of being friends with God. This is the one in Psalms 147:4 that says, this is the one who counts the stars and calls them by name. Isn't that a great scripture? The God who counts the stars. I wonder how big a job would that be? Well, here's the reality. How many stars are there? Well, we are part of what's called the Milky Way galaxy, and that's kind of an image of it. And right there, that little dot, that's you. That's you. The God who numbers the stars and calls them by name. Well, by calculation, many scientists believe there are 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And many believe there are over 100 billion galaxies. I mean, you got your calculator out? Anybody trying to figure this out at all? This is incredible. The God who numbers the stars and calls them by name, numbers that I can't even imagine, has just given me an invitation. is this possible? Is this the God who wants us to have a friendship? The one that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah wrote about in chapter 40, verse 12, who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Is it true? Is this the one? Listen, I want you to know this morning, I don't know about you, but I'd like you to join me in amazement that this God, the I Am that we spoke about earlier, calls me his friend. This changes everything. As I was sitting in that monastery considering my friends, Jesus wanted me to know, I am your greatest friend. I am your greatest friend. You mean the God that John talked about? The only Son of God who without him nothing was created that was created? That numbered the stars and called them by name? That knows what the earth weighs? I mean, this little speck in the universe. Can we even imagine? This God has given you an invitation this morning. I want you to be excited about this. I want you to be excited. I mean, I know him by many names, but this name may be the most intimate name of all. And I want you to leave church today with a little spring in your step, because let me tell you, you got a friend. You got a best friend. I want to share with you today, and you got an insert. And if you don't have one of these, you can pick one up, and we're going to mail these out to people who ask for them who can't be here. This is our messenger, monthly messenger. But in there, you'll see a little paper, and it has four marks of friendship with God. And this is going to be real easy. I want you to go down there, and I want you to write A, B, C, D. You think you can remember that? I was going to call this the ABCs of friendship, but I needed that D. So it's going to be the A, B, C, D, the marks of friendship. How do you know if you're walking in this relationship that's been offered to you? Jesus offered it to the disciples that night. Kaboom. He says, listen, I'm changing things up on you because now because of my coming, because of my presence, and because of what's going to happen shortly, we're going to have a whole new relationship, and I'm going to call you friends. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody calls me a friend, that's usually a two-way street, isn't it? So next week, we're going to look at friendship that we have with one another. But first and foremost, you need to have this friendship correct, all right? So let's just look at this. Can we do, Robert, if you'll just take it from here for me, I appreciate that. We're going to do the A. You ready for the A? Acceptance. When you're walking in this friendship with God, it is an invitation of acceptance. In Romans 8:15, Paul said, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Isn't that what Jesus just said? I no longer call you servant. I no longer am calling you a slave. No. No, he's not giving us that kind. Instead, he said, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you didn't choose him. He chose you. God adopted you. Now, my mom and dad, they had to take what they got. Okay, here I am, all right? Boom, Father's Day. Wow, my dad, what a Father's Day that was. Two twins, premature, here they are. Happy Father's Day, right? He had to take what he got, all right? But when someone adopts, that means somebody was chosen. And God's saying, listen, you're no longer a slave. You're a son, you're a daughter. I've chosen you, and now we call him Abba, Father. You understand what the God of the universe is wanting to enter into a personal relationship with us. This is unlike anything. This is amazing to me. God could have stayed in heaven, but no. The Word came flesh and dwelt among us and lived among us, this same flesh that created the world with one purpose, and that is to enter into a personal relationship with you as his creation. In Proverbs 17:17, we know that a friend is always loyal. It always loyal. And some of your translations will say, a friend loves at all times. At all times? You mean all the time, no matter what? You mean when things are good and things are bad? When things are going well? I mean, this is not a fair weather friend, is it? This is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, is that right? Brothers were made for times of need, but this friend is even better than a brother. And I believe when Jesus chose that word friend, he could have used another word to describe relationship. I like the vine and branch thing. That was good. But I think this kicks it up a notch. This is even more than that. He's saying, I'm going to be with you at all times. In Titus 3, 4 through 7, listen to this. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. I am accepted not because of what I do or what I've done. I'm accepted because of what God has done. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight, and He gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. You see it? Now Jesus' words make a little more sense. He said, I no longer call you servants. This is different. I'm now calling you a friend. What's the difference between a servant and a friend? You might write this down, and you may have some thoughts also. You can flip your page over or write it where you have room. I think a servant is task-oriented. A servant gains acceptance and favor by what they do. Is that right? They're clicking off the, hey, tell me what to do and I'll do it. That's what servants do, right? And I'm going to do it well, and you're going to be very happy with my performance. I'm a servant. I'm here to serve. But a friend does not have favor by what he does. A friend has favor by relationship alone. This is huge. Now, obedience and service is still important to servants and friends, but the motivation is what I want you to realize. The motivation is totally different. The servant, he starts with works, hoping to earn acceptance. But the friend, he starts with acceptance, and out of it flows his work. Do you understand the difference? His work flows out of love and acceptance. He's not working for acceptance. He already has it. He's working out of acceptance. It's the starting place of acceptance, not the goal. Mike Bickle, who many of you know from International House of Prayer in Kansas City, he said this. There are two types of believers in the world. There are lovers and workers. He said, lovers, this is intriguing to me. I think it's true. He said, lovers will always get more work done than workers. Friends will get more work done than servants. That is the power of friendship. It's true. I've seen it in my own life. And so that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He said, listen, our relationship's totally going to turn upside down here. You've been serving, you've been obeying, you've been doing your duty, you've been checking off the list. That's what the old covenant's all about. If you do this, I'll do this. And now everything is being turned on its side, saying, look, now it's going to be based in friendship and relationship. It's not what you've done, it's what I've done. Well, let's go to B. What's the B? This is very important. In this relationship, there's going to be, this relationship bears burdens, all right? It bears burdens. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, we know this scripture well. Jesus, now who is Jesus? Take John at his word. This is the word that came, dwelt among us, is flesh among us. Philip asked one day, Jesus, show us the Father. And what did Jesus say, Philip, 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 how long do I have to be with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the reflection of the Father, isn't he? That's who's calling us into friendship. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. All right, is that us? Anybody here got any heavy burdens this morning? He says, come to me if that's you. And here's my promise, and this comes out of friendship. Let me tell you, he says, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to help carry your burden for you. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Anybody still looking for it? I want you to know the power of God's friendship offers you this rest. He said, for my yoke is easy. It's easy to bear, and the burden I give is light. If your yoke is hard, you got the wrong yoke. If your burden is heavy, you don't understand the power of this friendship, what Jesus is offering to his disciples, because he knew, listen, guys, there's some things coming. In fact, you're all going to die, every one of you except one. And you're going to need this relationship I'm offering to you. In Psalms 55, 22, the psalmist says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. You know what our problem is? We don't understand this friendship relationship we have, and so we have a tendency to keep our burdens. Because, see, God's not going to come and yank them out of your hands. He wants you to give them to him as a friend. He wants you to come to him in this friendship relationship and say, listen, I've got this burden, because that's what friends do. Friends carry one another's burdens. In Romans 12, 15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. That is the mission of the church. That's also the heart of God, isn't it? We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We often say it here. I hope it's not just a cliche. What happens to you happens to me. I think God's saying that to us. What happens to you happens to me, because whatever you're going through, I'm going to go through with you, because that's what friends do, right? Do you see God that way? Do you see him as your friend? 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God. I think we're convinced of that after the slides we saw, right? Can we say the power of God? We're going to humble ourselves under that power, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. And because of that, he says, give all your worries and cares to God. I think in the New King James, it says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares about you. How many of you believe that? Well, he must not care too much about me. Look at all the problems. See, that's the whole point. Friends go through problems together. It doesn't mean you won't have problems. In fact, Jesus said, listen, in this life, I just want you to know, so you don't have unfulfilled expectations. You will have trouble in this life, but I'm going to give you peace. Well, Lord, the only way you're going to do that is if you remove my troubles, right? No, no, no. You're going to go through these troubles. You're going to have them, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. You know, if you knew Jesus was your best friend, you could go through about anything, couldn't you? If you knew Jesus, he is your friend. He's declaring that relationship with you today. And because of that, he's going to lift that burden right off your shoulder. He's going to deliver you from all your fears. He's not going to deliver you from trouble, but he will deliver you from the fear of that trouble, because you have a friend. You have a friend. What about C? Okay, we have acceptance. We have someone who bears our burdens. But here's another mark of the friendship that we have with God, and that's communication. This is big. What kind of friend would you have if you never talked and you never communicated? We talked about Moses being one of those in the Old Testament who had this friendship relationship. In fact, in Exodus 33:11, it says, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. How? As one speaks to a friend. Have you ever heard the voice of God speaking as a friend? Or do you hear that thunderous voice, that God who's mad at us? I want you to know, God is more sad than mad. He is your friend. And he's not trying to restrict your life. He just doesn't want to see you get hurt, because he's a good friend. And friends care about friends, right? And that's the heart of God. He's coming to us as a friend. Man, this just blows my mind that the God of the universe would want to be my friend, and that I could be his friend. In Matthew 27, 51, we know this. Jesus has fulfilled his mission. It's why he came. He dies on the cross for our sins. And what happens at night as the thunder strikes, and that's the part we, oh, that when I think of God, I think about that. But something else was going on that night, even more powerful, away from the cross. It was at the temple, and the scriptures declare in Matthew 27:51 that at that very moment when Jesus gave up the ghost, when Jesus surrendered himself into the hands of the Father, it says the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and rocks split apart. I don't know about you, but I'm getting all excited about them rocks splitting apart and that thunder. Man, that's the part. But what's happening in the midst of all of that manifestation of power is God is declaring something to you and me. Because of that power, he has opened up the door to communication. He is saying to us, you no longer need a priest to come and intercede for you. You can come. He is our intercessor. Doesn't mean we can't use a priest. It doesn't mean we can't confess our sins to one another. It doesn't mean that. But you have the place as a friend. Think about it. What kind of friend would send somebody else in their place to communicate? Now, friends can talk. They can come together. When God gets your phone call, if he's in a meeting, he's taking that call. He's taking that call. When my wife calls me, I take that call. My wife is one of my best friends. And humanly speaking, she is my best friend. And because of that, we have a relationship. Is that right? Well, God is my friend, and it makes all other friendships possible, right? So communication, look, this is a friend who communicates with us. We are so blessed. Hebrews 4:15-16. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. That's why he came to earth. Could he be our friend if he didn't come to earth? Could he really be that friend? Coming to earth made him that best friend. He's like the best man at your wedding. That's who this is. You know, John talked about that, didn't he? He said he was a friend of the bridegroom. Isn't that what he said in John? I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I hear his voice, man. I get excited about it. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. He was describing a unique relationship that was coming, and we have it too. Because Jesus is this kind of high priest, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. That doesn't mean you come with arrogance. That means you come with confidence. Wouldn't you? Would you approach a friend different? I mean, it's one thing, he's a king. I grant you, he is a king, but he's my friend. He'll always be the king. I'm not the king, he's the king. But he is my friend, and that's how I come, and I can come with confidence and boldness. He says, there we will receive his mercy. Whose mercy for? Whose mercy for? The guilty. Who's guilty? I am, right? I need mercy. If I wasn't guilty, I'd be asking for justice. I don't want justice. Although God wants justice. And Jesus paid that price for me and gave me mercy. He became my sin and I became his righteousness. What kind of friend is that? Jesus said in that same context in John, he said, no greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his. Jesus died for his friends. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Why? Because we got a friend. We got a friend. How many of you ever said, I hear it sometimes, God never speaks to me. Oh, I hear he speaks to other people, but I don't think God's ever spoken to me. I want you to try something. Just try this week. If you feel that way, I want you to take your Bible. I want you to find a quiet place. Sit down, put some worship music on if you want. And I want you to open up the book. Open up to a scripture and pray this prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit, as you read the scripture, is there something you want to show me? Is there something you want to speak to me through this scripture? John and I do this every couple weeks, don't we, John? We open the book. We sit on my porch. We read a scripture. What does God want to show us through the scripture? How many believe this is the Word of God? Do you believe it's alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide bone and marrow? This is not Moby Dick. This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and it's been given to us. And I believe if you will pray that prayer, I'd like to say your money back, but it's free. Open it up, pray that prayer, and then the next step, write it down. Whatever God speaks to you. That's how, when we go to Nebraska, and it's not just from, that's a neat place to go and separate yourself and get rid of all your distractions, no phones, no television, and just hear. See, that's our problem. We got too much noise in our life. Isn't that true? How much TV do you watch all week long? You turn it on just for the noise factor? You do that? You need to switch that around. Put some worship music on. Open the book. God will speak to you. Why? Because he's your friend. And that's what friends do. Friends communicate with one another. And God longs to communicate with you. It's always been his heart from the very beginning. He wanted the tabernacle with man. Don't you see it? Even in the old covenant, he's constantly wanting to. That's what the tabernacle was all about. He said, I want a tabernacle with you. And God wanted to speak to his people. And you know what happened? Eventually they said, we don't want to hear from God anymore. Moses, you go up to the mountain, you hear from God, and then you come down and tell us what he said. That was not the heart of God. Moses did it, and he went up, and he got to hear from God. And God wanted to speak to him for the people's sake, and he did. But God's heart has always been to dwell with man and to communicate with us. So if you feel today like you don't hear the voice of God, I want to challenge you to start looking at God a little different. If you saw him as your friend, I bet your heart would open up maybe in a different kind of way. Well, what about D? Discipleship, right? Whew, I had a lot of words I could use for D, but I thought discipleship says it well, because Jesus is going to give an invitation even at the end of his life. He's going to call us to this place of discipleship, which I believe, I want to call this friendship discipleship. It comes out of this spirit of friendship to be a disciple. John 15:14, which is the verse just before the one we read, said this: you are my friends if you do what I command you. In another place, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, there's that obedience again. But how? It's obedience of love and friendship, not as a servant. And this has been a major shift for me. I wish I could go back in time and pastor again with this understanding. I think it would be different. Now, that's not how life works, right? But I want to encourage you today, tap into this now. Drink from the stream of friendship. It will bring you into that special place that Jesus wants you to become, one of his disciples. In fact, in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is his closing remarks. This is what I want you to do, guys. You're my friends now, okay? This is what friends do. And teach them, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. He didn't say, I will. He said, I am right now. Present tense, I will be with you. So presence is very important in friendship, isn't it? To have a friend present in your life, wow. What an opportunity that is. In John 13:34-35, so now I am giving you a new commandment, Jesus said to his disciples, love each other just as I have loved you. That's the way I want you to love each other. And if you're my disciples, this is what you're going to do. In fact, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. If somebody claims to be a friend of God, but they're not a disciple, they don't understand this friendship. And that's really what Jesus was talking about in that chapter to his disciples, in that upper room discourse. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know what he said after that, right? What did he say? He said, I'm going to prune you. You know, a lot of people want to prune me. Let me tell you. You know, you have people in your life want to prune you. If you're going to be pruned, you want to be pruned by a friend. An enemy will hurt you, but God will help you. And what is his goal? That you might bear more fruit. So don't be afraid of pruning when it's done by a friend. Because he has your best, that was one of the B's I was wrestling with. He has your best interests at heart all the time. Did you know that? He's your friend. He's your friend. Oh, God's mad at me. I've tripped and fallen. Listen, a friend loves at all times. That's why I love the prodigal story, don't you, the prodigal son? Man, this prodigal son goes off, you know the story, and he lives this horrible life. It was terrible. You know, I was reading that the other day, and I had this thought. This friend, how does he feel about when I stumble and fall and mess up? A friend's not going to walk away from me. A friend is going to run towards me. And I had this thought because Jesus is going to have communion with his disciples. Have you ever thought about it? Who was present? Who partook of communion? Peter? Peter? But wait a minute. Lord, you know what Peter's going to do. He's going to trash you. He's going to deny you. Not once, not twice, but three times. He's going to walk away from you in your darkest hour, and you're offering him communion. Paul tells me that when you take communion, you're supposed to search yourself and make sure you're okay. I think we got to be careful with that a little bit because some of you are so hard on yourself, you'll never take communion. It's true, isn't it? Well, you're looking for perfection. You forgot you're coming as a slave. You need to come as a friend. Because God's wanting to work with us and he's committed to us long term. Amen. And so that prodigal story really demonstrates for us when that son has run out of money, he's come to the end of himself, he's in the pig pen, he comes back and he says to the father, you know what he's saying? I want to be a slave. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? I want to come back as a hired hand. That's what he said. And what does the father say? You can't do that. You're my son. Do you understand the heart of the father in this story? He really thought, he thought he had to give up that friendship relationship. No, you can't. The friend won't let you. It's the heart of God, and he restores him. What's he do? He puts a robe on him. You know what that robe is? That's a robe of righteousness. God's put that robe on you too. He put a ring on his finger. Do you know what that is? That's the family ring. He's saying, you're part of the family. You'll always be part of the family. You can't perform your way into it. You don't perform your way out of it. Do you understand this relationship? Then he puts sandals on his feet. You know, when I thought about that, I thought, well, that's the path that I'm going to walk. He's saying, listen, I'm going to be with you. We're going to walk this thing together. Isn't this awesome? But wait a minute. Shouldn't he have to pay penance? Shouldn't he have to? Listen, you didn't even give him a chance to say he was sorry. You don't understand this friend. But oh, there's the elder brother. He gets upset about this, as many of you would too, right? I see it in the church too. We're full of elder brothers. We think people are getting off scot-free and we don't like it. We don't like grace. We don't like mercy. Somebody's got to pay. Because that's our heart, isn't it? But not this friend. And the elder brother comes, he says, Father, I have kept all your commandments. Oh, isn't that one of the marks of discipleship? First off, he wasn't telling the truth. How many children do you that think they're, I was a perfect child, right? I never had to wrestle with that. But some of you maybe, you know. And the father, remember what the father said? And he said, Father, you've never thrown a party like this for me. You've never killed the fatted calf. And yet I've been good, and my brother, he has went off in prodigal living, and this is the way you treat him. He doesn't understand the heart of the Father. Because the Father said to him, Son, you have always had these things. They've always been available to you. Here's the issue, and you've heard me say this many times. Both these brothers had the same problem, just expressed in two different ways. The one brother thought by being bad, he couldn't be a son. The other brother thought by being good, he could be a son. He was thinking like a servant, even though he was a son. Now, I don't know what God's speaking to you this morning, but we're going to come to the table. And I can't help but reflect upon Romans 5, verse 10. I don't have room on the screen for all of that verse, but the gist of it is this. It's powerful. I want you to really reflect on this because this is the table of friendship, okay? This is the table of the Father's heart who wants to be intimate with us. That's why we call it communion. He's wanting to commune with us. He doesn't want a sterile relationship with you. He's not interested in your sacrifices. He wants your heart. He doesn't want you to put on a show. He wants you to be real. And here's what Paul said. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son. What do you mean restored? Don't you understand? In the garden, God was wanting a relationship with his creation, Adam and Eve. Was it a friendship? Yeah. They walked in the cool of the day together. And he said, you can have anything you want in this garden, except one thing. One. God's always wanted to restore that relationship. That's what this is about. So now, he says, we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I don't know about you, but this blows me away. That God wants to be my friend. And you know what's even cooler? I want to be his friend. There's two things. We had a worship luncheon yesterday, and I shared this with them. There's two things God wants from you, two things I want this year. I want to know God more, and I want to love God more. That's what I want. And I believe it's what God wants for me. And it will come not as a servant, not as a slave, but it will come as a friend. Amen. Are you encouraged by this? Do you understand the heart of the Father towards you? The one who numbers the stars and calls them by name, billions and billions, he knows how many hairs there are on your head. And he declares today, just like he did the disciples, pretend you're in the room. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to come to this table and to receive this invitation. Lord, I know for many of us, myself included, I have served out of duty for so many years. I wish I could take those years back. I wish I could have a reset and a redo. But I know that's not how life works. And I know you saw, even back in those years, this day that I'm walking in now. And you were patient with me, and you knew in time I would come to understand what this relationship's about. And so, Father, today, I pray I can know that friendship on an even deeper level. Would you help me? Forgive me for the times I want to go back to being a servant. Forgive me for the times I shift into duty and discipline. But Lord, bring me to that place of delight. I don't know how many years I have left on this earth. But I want to live them in the fullness of this friendship. Would you help me? I release everything else to you. I release it. And I pray, Father, that you can draw me to that place. I want to be a lover, not a worker. But I want to work out of my love. Would you help me? You didn't just save me from something, but you saved me for something. And I believe it's this relationship in you. And we celebrate it today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come to this table this morning. We're going to come down the center aisle. If you're new here, this is open communion. There's some churches you go to, you can't partake unless you got the card. You got to be a member of that church. No, you're a member of the family of God. You're a son and a daughter, and you can never be turned away from this table. Because a friend wouldn't do that. Not for any reason. So don't be too hard on yourself today. Be honest. I think that's what Paul was saying. Be honest. Don't hide. Don't pretend. Be real in who you are. Maybe you need to come and get some mercy today, some forgiveness and grace. I believe God wants you to obey. I believe if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, it is. You're not just going to live any way you want. But you're going to be drawn to that place, not out of duty, but out of delight. And so that's the table we're coming to this morning. If you're here today and you have never surrendered your life to your Heavenly Father, you've never received Jesus as Savior, you've never trusted Him with your life, this is your day. But He wants you to come, not checking off the list. He wants you to come in a personal relationship with Him. Amen? 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 So I want you to come in that spirit today. Would you just rise from your seats, come down the center aisle, take the cup and the bread, and return to your seat again. God bless you as you come. Lord, we thank You for this bread and what it represents to us. You were broken for us. Why would You do that? Because You loved us. And You knew the price that needed to be paid. And You paid it. And You laid down Your life for Your friends. We eat this bread. And we thank You. We are grateful. Just let the Lord love on you a little bit. He sets His arms wrapping around you. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You. Thank You for this cup and what it represents to us today, that Your blood was shed. It is the new covenant, You said. It is the friendship that You declared to Your disciples that night, and You are declaring to us today. And we receive this gift, and we thank You for it. Thank You for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank You that we're not coming as servants, we're not coming as slaves, but we're coming as friends today, and we receive Your love, and we receive Your gift, and we thank You. We are grateful. In Jesus' name. As we prepare to leave, I just want to give you an invitation. Those of you who feel comfortable, if you would like for us to pray with you before you leave, we can do that. We want to do that. I don't know which of those four marks you might want to circle on your page today. Is it acceptance? Is that a struggle for you? Is it burdens? Is it your prayer life, your communication with God? Is it discipleship? Or maybe you might be like me and you got to put a big old circle around the whole page, right? Because it's all so connected together. I just want you to know God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants to walk with you in this intimacy. Amen? You know, a lot of religions of the world, they have set times every day you're supposed to communicate with God. Some of them are 5 times a day, right? How many think that's a lot? My Bible says in this new relationship, I pray without ceasing. Whoa! How's that possible? The intimacy you have with your friend, you can talk anytime. God wants to have conversation with you, and He's not interested in your formalness. You know the difference between a formal meal and a potluck dinner? Which one do you enjoy most? I'm not saying I don't like a formal meal, but you know, a formal meal, they bring it to you and you get what you get. But a potluck dinner, wow. When I think potluck dinner, I think fellowship. I think talking. I think laughing. Do you know God wants to have a good laugh with you? You know, He wants to enjoy those funny times in your life. And then He wants to weep with you too. He wants to cry with you. He wants to walk through your struggles. Because that's what friends do. Amen? When you go to the restaurant today, somebody's going to ask what you're so excited about. You just tell them, would you? I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. That'll strike up a conversation, let me tell you. I'm a friend of God. Would you just declare that with me today? Can you just verbalize that with me? Can we say it? I am a friend of God. Just those words are so powerful. The power of friendship. When God spoke that to me through Grady's prayer, I wasn't thinking about this. God brought me back to this. I was so focused on my earthly friendship that God said, oh, but Joe, that's all standing on this friendship here. So we got to get this right. Next week, we're going to talk about the marks of friendship that we have with each other. We're going to talk about delighting in the friends around us, especially during this time. So come prepared, but soak this week in this. Let God love on you through this. And just let Him give you this revelation of who He is. This may be fresh and new for you. You've always seen God as this formal. And I know some people are afraid. Pastor, if we get too much into this friendship thing, we'll lose our reverence for God. Really? Abba, Father. That's what He said. I didn't say it. Jesus said, Abba, Father. That means daddy. That's the most intimate form of communication with your Father. Abba, intimacy, closeness. That's what God's wanting. Amen. I hope you open up your heart to it. I'd love to visit with you this week. You can call Donna. She'll set up an appointment with you if you want to talk more in length. I just want you to know this more than anything else. Amen. This is going to be a great year. It's going to be a year to celebrate the friendship of God and our friendship with one another. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray Your blessing upon this congregation as we leave this place. This is just a place. But Lord, Your friendship goes with us wherever we are, and You're going to experience everything in life with us. Thank You for becoming flesh and dwelling among us and being sympathetic with us and entering into our struggles and our victories. We celebrate this year. We're looking forward. We're claiming this year. We're claiming this year to delight in our relationship with You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Go in God's love.